Okay, so today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph. Good morning, everyone. The Gemara, we're starting on the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, the last two lines. Amar Le Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Amar Le Abaye L'Rav Yosef. Tevila Zu. So this Tevila, Chotet or Eino Chotet. If there is something stuck on your body between you and the water, is the chatzitza, does that invalidate the tvila or not? That since the tvila that the mitzora does on the eighth day only comes to remind you, or sorry, this is the my mistake, right? So this this tvila on the eighth day. So is this only since it's only come to remind you in case you have any other types of tumah, but it's not a real, you know, state of tumah that now you're becoming tahor. If you have a chatitza, if you have something stuck to you, does that prevent the tumah from happening? Or since we say it's only to remind you, so even if you have a chatitza, you have something stuck to you, it's not a problem. Like called the tikkun rabbanon, came the rest of tikkun. Anything the rabbanon made a takana, it's as if it's mina Torah. And since they made a takana, you have to go to the mikvah. So therefore, it is all the halachos of tefillah mina Torah, and chatzitza invalidates it. Amalei Abaye Rav Yosef, bia b'miksas shma bia olo. So let's say someone puts part of his body into the azara, and he doesn't enter with his entire body. Do you require this tvila or not? Do you need to be, the whole body has to go in for you to warrant you to do this kind of tvila? And if you also want to say, "Amalei Bahonos Yochichu Shehein Biat B'Mikshas V'Tanya Mitzora Tova Va'Omer B'Shar Nikonar." Well, that's what happens with the Mitzora. The Mitzora only puts his thumbs in, and on the eighth day when he becomes Tahor, when he brings his Korbanos, he just brings his thumbs into the Azara so that the coin can sprinkle from the blood of the Ashim and from the oil, and the rest of his body remains outside the Azara. And the Brisa says that the Mitzora requires Tevila even though he's only putting his fingers into the Azara. Now, Iboy Lahu. So we have a different doubt here. Maushi Asasakin Aruka V'yishchot. Are you allowed to make a long knife and stand outside the Azara and check the Korban that's found in the Azara? So basically, you're outside, and the long knife, so the animal's in the Azara. That way, you don't have to go to the mikvah because you didn't enter the Azara. Only your knife entered the Azara. You could ask this question, whether we hold like a Ben Zoma who holds that the obligation of Tevila is from the Torah. Whenever you go from a state of Tuma to a state, from a lower level of Kedusha, or from Chol to Kodesh, then you have to go to the mikvah. Or even according to Rabbanan who hold that it's only Mitzora that he needs to go to the mikvah before he comes to the Mikdash, because he is involved in Tumah. But anyone else does not have to go to the mikvah unless they know for sure they were Tami beforehand. So Gemara says, Tibar, the Ben Zoma, Kan lo mechayev Ben Zoma l'gavoy. When Ben Zoma obligates the Vila, it's only someone who enters into the Azara, v'livrai lo, but if someone stays outside the Azara, maybe he's not obligated to be lo. Dilma, asadam shuchim, maybe the concern is that he's going to, since the korban is inside the Azara, maybe he's going to be drawn after the korban enter the Azara, then he'd be chayev in. And so therefore we would say, you know what, just you have to do tvila to begin with. So that's one side of it. Tiboy, the rabbanon, the pligi, aled Rabbi Yehuda. You can ask the question, rabbanon, who argues on Rabbi Yehuda? Why? Akad, lo kama rabbanon, hasil lo kabi ravoda. So there, Rabbanan would say that Rabbanan exempts someone who goes into the Azara for the mikvah specifically because he's not doing the avoda. But here, the kavir avoda lo. Maybe here when, because if you're shechting from you're shechting the korban, since you're doing the avoda, so then you are chayav to go into the mikvah, even in this, even according to them. Or demalosha, maybe there's no difference, and you're exempt from tevila. Even the individual who's going to do the avoda teku, this question stands as a doubt. It wasn't resolved according to either opinion. The Mishnah says chamish tevilas vavsar kedushin tova. So there are five immersions in the mikvah and 10 times washing the hands and the feet from the basin, from the kior, that's what the Kohen Gadol does on Yom Kippur. All of the tvilos were in a makom kadosh, except for the first one that was in Chol. That was not in the Mikdash area. Tadar Rabbanan. Chomei tvilos of Hilar Kedishin Tovel Kohen Gadol Mekadesh Bo Bayom B'chol Mechodesh B'Veis HaParpa. So five tvilos and 10 washings of the hands and the feet the Kohen Gadol would do on Yom Kippur, and all of them were in the Beis HaParva, on the roof, by the chamber of the Beis HaParva, Chutz Mi Rishon, except for the first immersion. That's when you came to the Mikdash before you did the Avodah. Shaisa B'chol, Gabi Shar Mayim, because this was not in the Mikdash area, that was in Shar HaMayim. Uvitzad Lishkas, that was right next to the chamber of the Kohen Gadol, because this was not from the halacha of Yom Kippur, but this is simply the tefila that you have to do every day before the avoda. But the other tefilos from Yom Kippur, the pasuk says specifically in Vayikra, in Parashat Achrimos, Vikra Tesan Chav Dalet, that it has to be B'makom Kadosh. Amar Baya, Baya says Shmamina, we see from here, Ayin Eitam, so Ein Eitam, that the spring from which the water would reach, by a water channel. So that's Gavol Mikarkas Azara Estu Mishol Shamos. So we see that this spring from which the water would reach by the way of water channel to the Makom Tevila that's above the Sharmayim was higher than the ground of the Azara by 23 Amos. Did not Kulon Mishnah, Kolapsachim Shahayu Sham, all the gates that were in, all the openings that were in the base of Mikdash, Govan Asara Amma Rachman Abba Eser Amma. They were 20 Amos high and 10 Amos wide. Chutz Misha Ulam, except for the antechamber, the Ulam, that's the, you know, the long wide, the area that's before the Heichal. So that was 40 Amos by 20. Betanya, and we learn in Braisa, Varachat Mamis Kobasaro. And it says regarding a Baal Keri who goes to the mikvah, so in a seminal mission, he goes to the mikvah. Says that he should wash his whole skin or flesh in water. So b'mei mikvah, in you need to do it in gathered water, not water that was not mayim she'uvim, not drawn water. Kol b'sara, what does kol b'sara mean? Mayim shekol gufo lebahem. You need to immerse in water that your whole body can go in at once. V'kamehain ama alama brum shalosh amos. One by one by three amos. That's enough to so that your whole body can go in there at once. That's what we call 40 sa'ah. That's the shir. All right, shir chachamim, mimikva arbaim sa'ah. So it's 40 sa'ah. So since the height of the sharamayim was 20 amos, and on it was built a kli that was 3 amos high, because it'd be 3 by 1 by 1, so you have to say that 23 amos. Therefore, the spring, ein etam, that the water spring from it to the base of Mikdash, can't be lower than that because the water can't reach above, but the height has to be at least 23 amos from the floor of the Azara. But wait, isn't there an amma, the thickness of the roof of the ceiling that is above the Shar HaMayim, and another, amma of the, the maziva, what's that? That's the like the mud that's I guess you have the ceiling and the roof, I guess, right? So
floor.
Sorry?
The floor.
The
pavement under the mikvah.
Oh, okay, right. Now you have the ceiling above the Sharmayim and then the next arm of the floor of the mikvah. So why shouldn't it be more than another two amos? So Gemara says, "Sharon the base of Mikdash came to Sheshe Ninhu b'mashahu b'mashu of the Lahu." Since the gates are made of marble, so a small amount of thickness would be sufficient for the ceilings and for the floors, because we're not concerned with, I guess, if it's made of moisture, and even the smallest amount. Yeah, so why don't you mention a mashahu? 23 amos and a few mashahus, a little more. But since it's not an amma, they didn't include it. Gemara, the Mishnah also says, Parshu Sardin Shalbutz, they spread a sheet of flax, between the Kohen Gadol and the people before he undressed for modesty purposes. Maishna shel boots. Why was it of specifically a sheet of flax? Kinarav Kahana, Yishiyakir Shavurasiyom, a big day of boots. So it would be recognizable that today, the Avoda today on Yom Kippur will be only of for the Avoda that he's going to do in the Kodesh Kodesh will be only the special Avoda on Yom Kippur will be is only with linen garments. So big day boots. So here also, so that's why they, when they do the sheet, it should be first in a linen sheet. Now the Mishnayos above explained that they would bring the Kohen Gadol down from Lishkos Beis HaTinas to the Beis HaTfilah that's on top of the Sharamayim, and before he goes on to the mikvah, they would spread this linen sheet between him and the people because of modesty. Now our mission is going to bring the halachos of the first tefillah and the order of the avodas korban tamin shel shachar. That's the beginning of the avodah Yom Kippur. So after the Kohen Gadol checked his body from anything that would be an impediment to the tefillah. So then Pashat Yarad Betaval Alag Vinistavik. So he would go, he would undress from his weekday clothing. He would go down to the mikvah and he would go to the mikvah. He would immerse the mikvah and then he would go up from the mikvah and then he would wrap himself up with a kind of towel. So that would absorb the moisture and that would clean him. And then they bring him golden clothing, right? His eight garments, the lavash, and then he'd put them on the kiddush of raglav, and then he would wash his hands and feet. And this was the first kiddush of raglav, the first washing. Remember, there were 10 of them. Heviulo es ha tavid. If they brought the Kohen Gadol, they bring the Kohen Gadol the lamp for the korban tamin shel shachar. Now the rest of the days of the year. One coin would check, and the second coin would do Kabbalah Saddam, would receive the blood. But on Yom Kippur, they did a little bit different. So Kohen Gadol would be able to check and to do Kabbalah Saddam. So what would they do exactly? So, and the reason, by the way, is because Kabbalah Saddam is only kosher with the Kohen Gadol. So, Karatzo, so he would cut the neck of the Korban. He would cut the two Simonim, the Kana and the Veshet, the windpipe and the esophagus, just the majority of it, not the whole esophagus, but the majority of these two arteries. So that results in a kasher shchita. Then he would leave the knife, and then he would quickly take the bowl for kabbal sadam. Umeirak acher shchita yado, and someone else would finish the shchita for him, and there it's a mitzvah midrabanan to finish it, so the blood goes out in a good way. And then when the other kohen is finishing the shchita, kibel es adam, the kohen gadol receives the blood inside the mizrak, inside the bowl in his hands, and then uzrako, then he sprinkles it on the out of his beach, right? Two applications that are four, one on the northeast quarter and one in the southwest quarter. And the rest of the blood he would pour on the southern foundation of the Mizbeach. And then when the Kohanim were then involved in skinning the Korban and cutting the limbs into pieces to burn it, then Nichnas Lahakir Kedosh Shachar. Then the Kohen Gadol would go into the Heichal to burn the Ketores of the morning. That's done on the Mizbeach Hazav, the inner Mizbeach that's in the Heichal, Ula Heitiva Sederos, to fix the Neros. That's what we said, the Machlokas between the Rambam and most other Rishonim. And most other Rishonim say that it was just cleaning it, just removing the old wicks, and to clean the rest of the ashes and the oil from the day before, and to put new cups of oil and new wicks. According to the Rambam, he actually lit it. And then the Kohen Gadol would go back out to the Azara, and then Lahakriv Esarosh Vesevarim, and then he would bring the on the Mizbeach Achitzon, the head of the Korban and the limbs, Ves Vechavitim, and the Mincha of the 12 loaves, different types that were baked and that were fried from the 10th of the Sola. So the Kohen Gadol would bring every day half of it in the Tamid Shel Shachar and half of it in Tamid Shel Bein Arbayim. Vesa Yayin, then he would do the wine libations. This is all after the Korban of Tamid. Ketores Shel Shachar Ha'isakreva Bein Dam Le'Evarim. The Ketores of the morning was brought between the Zrikas Adam and the Evarim, and the bringing of the limbs. Shel Bein Arbayim Bein Evarim Le'Nesachim. But the Ketores of the afternoon Ketores was brought between the bringing of the limbs and the wine libation. So it's different times there. And I think that the Gemara, I think, will explain this. Now, regarding the Kohen Gadol. Imaya Kohen Gadol Zakedo Istis. If the Kohen Gadol was elderly and it's hard for him to dip in cold water or he's fastidious, then Mechamin Lo Chamin, they would warm for him the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, an Erev Yom Kippur, with kettles of hot water. They heat up water in Erev Yom Kippur, kettles of heat water, matili and latel chatzonin, and they would pour it on Yom Kippur itself into the cold water of the mikvah. Kedei shetafig tinasam, so that will, chill the coolness of the water. It won't make it so cold. It'll warm it up a bit. So Amaruah Rabbanan Kamid Rapapa. So now the rabbi said in front of hello?
Yeah, quick question. The Kohen did everything here. The Kohen Gadol did all this work himself except for finishing the Shechita?
Yes, correct. Yes, yes.
And the second thing was the Mizbeach that they used now, that he's using now, is the inner one, right?
Only for the Ketores. Only for the Ketores. The burning the Ketores, right? You would burn the Ketores, the incense, in the morning and the afternoon. That was done in the inner Mizbeach.
That was, but this burning was all, the Korban was on the big Mizbeach.
Correct, on the outer Mizbeach, correct. Okay. So in the Mishnah, we said that there are 5 tevilos and 10 washings, on Yom Kippur. So it would seem that each tevila had 2 washings, right? Because 5 tefillos and 10 washings of the hands. So now we're going to sort of detail about these different when this took place. Amru Rabbanan Kamid Rapapa. The Talmidim of Rapapa said this in front of Rapapa. Hadalo Krameir. This Tana is not like Rameir. The Rameir, because the corner of Rameir, Kevan da Amar Trei Kedusha Alavisha Avid Lahu. Hachanami Liave Trei Kedusha Alavisha. That since we see in the next Mishnah, in the order of the second Tefillah, the Kohen Gadol does not wash his hands and feet before he removes his golden clothing, his regular begadim, but rather he undresses, and then afterwards he washes his hands and feet, and then he goes to the mikvah, and then he puts on his big day kahuna, and then he washes his hands and feet. And basically, according to our mayor, you have 2 washings that were done for the wearing of the clothing. In other words, you have 2 times the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands when he put on the big day kahuna. One before he goes to the mikvah and puts on the clothing. And then this one after he puts on the clothing. So he'd wash, go to the mikvah, put on the clothing, and then wash again. So here also, Hachanami Liavet Trei Kedusha Levisha. So here also, the Kohen Gadol should do the same thing. He should wash his hands, then go to the mikvah, then put on clothing, and then wash his hands and feet. Since in our Mishnah, the Kohen Gadol would wash his hands and feet only once in this context, so therefore our Mishnah is not like Rameir, but like the Chamin who argued Rameir, and they hold that there is one washing before removing the Big Day Zahav, and one washing after putting on the Big Day Lavan. And so therefore, since in our Mishnah, there is no here. You're only removing the big day chol, your weekday garments. So then, either you wouldn't wash your hands and feet for that. So Amar Lahu Rapapa. Rapapa says, "Bein the Rabbanan, bein the Rameir, chad apshita the big day kodesh v'chad alavisha." So whether you hold like Rabbanan or Rabbi Meir,
you praising God.
Okay, Amar Lahu Rapapa. Can you hear now? Can you hear now? Right, hold on. Hold on. It's Let's see. Hold on. Can you hear now? Yes?
Now,
okay. So Amar Lahu Rapapa. Rapapa said to them, Bein the Rabbanan, Bein the Rabbi Meir, whether we hold like Rabbanan or Rabbi Meir, wherever there is mentioned. No?
Okay.
I'm good? Okay.
No.
No? Okay, let me try one more time. Hold on. Okay. How are we doing now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you.
Okay. Amar Lahu Rapapa. Rapapa said to them, Bein the Rabbanan, Bein the Rabbi Meir, Chad Apshita the Big Day Kodesh, V'chad Alavisha. That there's one washing when you remove the Big Day Kahuna, and one washing when you put on the Big Day Kahuna. And therefore, in our Mishnah, since you're not removing the Big Day Kodesh for the first time, there's only one washing. What's the argument between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? Upashat v'rachatz v'lavash. Because the Pasuk says, Upashat and v'rachatz and v'lavash by the Vodas Yom Kippur. So Rabbi Meir Sabar, Makish Pshita l'lavisha. Malavisha lovesh v'achar kach makadesh. Af Pshita poshet v'achar kach makadesh. The Rabbi Meir says that just like before you put on the Big Day Kodesh and then you wash your hands and feet, so too when you, before you take off the Big Day Kodesh, then you wash your hands and feet. In other words, you put on the clothing and then you wash your hands and feet, so then also you take off the clothing, then wash your hands and feet. For Rabbanan Savri, Makish Pshita Levisha. So we compare undressing to dressing. Ma Levisha, just like when you dress, Kishahu Lavush Mekadesh. So when you're wearing the Big Day Kodesh, then you wash your hands and feet. So Apshita, Kishahu Lavush Mekadesh. So when you undress, you have to wash your hands and feet while you're dressed. So Rabbanan holds, you always have to be dressed when you wash your hands and feet. And the Rabbi Meir disagrees. So Amar Le Rabbanan Le Rapapa, Rabbanan said to Rapapa, Mi Matzis Amar Hachi. Can you really say this? Vatanya, but behold, we learn a brisa. Parsu Sadin Shelbutz Beit Olivein Am. They would spread a linen garment between him and the people. Pashat, he would undress V'yarad V'tavol. Then he'd go to the mikveh. All of it, he'd stop it. He'd cool down, he'd dry himself off. Heavy little Big Days of Alabash, Bikidashav Raglav. He'd wear his clothing and then he'd wash his hands and feet. This is the opinion of the Chachamim. Rameh Omer, Pashat, Bikidashav Raglav. He would undress and then he'd wash his hands and feet. Viyarai Vitava. And then he would go to the mikvah. Allah Vinistapeg. Then he'd dry himself off. Heavy little Big Days of Alabash, Bikidashav Raglav. And then he would, after he'd dry off, they would bring him the Big Day Zahav, and then he would wash his hands and feet. So since, according to the Chachamim, there's only one washing, so clearly that when it says in the Braisa, when it says the first Tevila, the Kohen Gadol, that there's no, that he doesn't, that clearly, right, you know, we have a source here, there are Meir holds, that there are two Kiddushin here, that there are two washings. The Braisa here says that he would undress, he'd wash his hands and feet, and then he'd wear the Big Days off, then he'd wash hands and feet. So clearly, there is a brisa which says, even on the first dressing, there are two washings of the hands. So Amar Lahu, Rapapa says back to them, Itanya Tanya. Okay, fine. If there's a brisa which says that, then I'm going to retract what I said. And the reason of Rabbi Meir, that in the second Tevila, the Kohen first... that he first undresses before he washes is not because that you have to wash your hands on undressing removing your Big Day Kahuna. But according to Meir, that basically on every wearing of the Big Day Kahuna, there are two Kiddushim and you have to wash your hands and feet. And therefore that applies even to the first, even the first big days of that he puts, even the first time that he puts on clothing. So that, and that doesn't have to do with taking off holy clothing. No, it's just that whenever you put on new clothing that you're going to use for the avoda, you have to wash your hands and feet twice, and therefore our Mishnah cannot follow Rabbi Meir. Okay? Okay, so we'll stop here, and God willing, we will continue tomorrow. Okay, everyone have a great day.